Professor Eli Silverman of John Jay College of Criminal Justice testified about two surveys he and his team conducted on NYPD retirees. Bahar Azmet, legal director for the Center for Constitutional Rights, says the survey demonstrates tremendous pressure experienced by police officers, particularly in the post-Bloomberg-Kelly era, to conduct summonses, stops, and arrests.
It's relevant to our theory that management, as a policy matter, is putting pressure on officers to do stops and frisks, which corresponds to illegal stops and frisks. There's definitely a correlation.
What is the correlation?
Well, if stop and frisks are not being driven by organically by reasonable suspicion of what's being observed, but feelings of downward pressure, it encourages responding to numbers rather than responding to crime.
My name is Dominique Sendayiganza. I just testified in court about what happened to me, my stop and frisk experience with NYPD. I'm glad I could share my story.
So you were stopped, and then you were almost let go, and then the cops said that you couldn't go the way you wanted to go to get to your train, and then you were stopped, frisked, and arrested.
Yes, exactly.
Tell our listeners.
Well, you know, I was stopped. I was, you know, police seemed to be very angry, yelling, asking me all kinds of questions. My ID was checked. And afterwards, I got my ID back. The officer told me, you should go, but you can only walk in this one direction, I'm telling you. And I asked him, like, if I want to go home, can I just take the F train or the 4 train? Can I just get into the train? And then, you know, to prove me a lesson, to teach me a lesson, he said, I'm going to arrest you now.
You testified that they were rude, to say the least.
Yes, very rude. Yeah, they called me names, they cursed me out, you know. They seemed to have a field day, though. These were like rookie cops. I've worked in New York City public high schools for the past 5 years, so I know what young 18, 19, 20-year-old people do. And it seemed like they were very young officers having a lot of fun, trying to put me down, put me in my place, teach me a lesson, joke around, call me some names. It was very disrespectful, to say the least.
And you feel very strongly about bringing this to the public.
Of course, yeah. You know, that's how... I wouldn't know what else to do. There's no reason for me to stay quiet, you know. I know what happened to me. I know the truth. And, you know, if my truth can help in bringing, pushing the CCR, the Center for Constitutional Rights, forward in creating any type of change, that's great, you know.
You brought your two little daughters to court, and they seem to be listening attentively to your testimony.
Yeah, I took them out of school today because this is school. You know, this is Social Studies 101. And so, yeah, Serene is 7, Joshanti is 5. We've talked a lot in the last couple of days about, you know, the role of the police and what it means to be, what justice means, and, you know, how you stand up to when people bully you.
Center for Constitutional Rights lawyer Sunita Patel says testimony in court by individuals stopped by the police department for no reason other than race is compelling.
It's quite alarming, the testimony of Dominique Sendayiganza, where young rookie cops, who we will hear from, working on an impact tour where young officers are assigned to certain areas and told, you know, to go ahead and try to stop folks. And, you know, the thing is it's a real problem with the way that the department is operating the stop and frisk program and the practice. And they really need to change what they're doing. They really need to have better supervision. They really need to train the officers appropriately. And, you know, if you have supervisors sitting there watching this interaction, they should do something. They should stop this from happening.
During the stop, there were some senior officers who came to the area and were watching what was going on. And yet, the stop continued and the arrest continued.
That's right. That's right. And this is the way that the impact program operates. There are supervisors with the younger cops who go out. And what one of the theories of our case is that the supervisors don't do anything when they're with the officers. Instead, they actually do the opposite. They go out and they say, hey, go stop those people. Go find out what's going on over there in an effort to get the numbers that they need, that we know that the department is requiring.
Another class member witness who testified is Lalit Clarkson. He's now an organizer with SEIU, but at the time of his stop, he was exiting a bodega across from the school in the Bronx where he taught. He refused to consent to a search and was let go. He says he's part of the class action suit to put a brake on police tactics which go too far and result in the deaths of young men at the hands of the NYPD.
this case at the end of the day is about raising awareness and raising your voice, that these are issues that go on in our community that a lot of us don't speak about in the public sphere. We speak about with our families, with our friends, oh yeah, I got stopped, you know, but I got to go home. Oh, I got stopped, I got arrested, I didn't go to jail. So I think this is an opportunity for those of us that, you know, want to speak for all the people who have been stopped, questioned, and frisked that felt like they didn't have the power to do so. And so with you working for the union, it's a similar thing. We ask workers to speak up in ways that they've been abused, that they feel like they couldn't do it before.
As the stop and frisk trial continues, a former NYPD chief and officers in the stop of Cindy Aganza will testify. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.